Hey everybody, welcome once again to our morning devos. Today's chapter is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read this for us and we'll dive into the devotional. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When one of you has a grievance against one another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more, then, matters pertaining to this life? So if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers, but brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Amen. There are two main things happening here in chapter 6, so I'm going to try to touch on both of them. And as always, even though I'll be sharing my own thoughts and convictions, I hope you'll take some time on your own to meditate on the Word. Because, as always, while this devotion is meant to be helpful, and I hope it is, we don't want for this to take away from your own reflections and the ways that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you specifically today. So, but anyway, I'll share a couple thoughts from this morning. So the first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 11, speaks to how we're to engage with one another as Christians. While we don't know the full context, based on Paul's writings, I think it's safe to assume that there was some kind of disagreement or dispute among the Corinthian Christians, and they set out to resolve that dispute by going to the justice system. Or in other words, they filed a lawsuit, went before a judge to get this issue resolved. Paul, after learning about this, is appalled. He can't believe that Christians would choose to do this because he believes that disputes ought to be settled in-house within the church. He rebukes the Corinthian Christians for going the route of the courts rather than working to figure it out within the church body. Now, you may be wondering, what's the problem here? Well, the problem boils down to this. Disagreements and conflicts within the church, which are inevitable, by the way, shouldn't need legal mediation because as followers of Jesus, we share a deep bond of recipients of God's immeasurable grace and incredible forgiveness. As a follower of Jesus, you know that you have received incredible grace. You know that by the blood of Jesus, your sin has been completely forgiven at no cost to you, and that you have new life because of it. Therefore, more than any other person, followers of Jesus should know how to love and forgive and receive others, even in times of extreme conflict. If you have a hard time doing that directly with somebody who caused you harm, well then you can do that with someone else in the church who is wiser and able to be that mediator, as Paul infers in verse 5. However it's done, for followers of Jesus, this shared bond should be sufficient in overcoming even the deepest of conflicts. I don't think Paul takes any issue with the government or the existence of a legal system. There are matters in life that may require the involvement of lawyers and such. Paul's issue comes down to the fact that brothers and sisters in Christ are trying to resolve disputes not through the lens of the love and grace of God, and instead through laws and the involvement of people who have no understanding of the faith. It's basically about trying to approach a relationship with a brother or sister in Christ through the lens of the world, not the lens of Christ. Let's try to contextualize this a bit. Are you currently having any conflicts with anyone in the church? Maybe not right now, but I'm sure some of us, all of us, have at some point in our lives. If so, how are you managing that conflict now? Or how did you manage that conflict in the past? While I assume none of us are considering or have considered filing a lawsuit, or at least I hope not, on a fundamental level, the question boils down to, are you approaching this conflict from the lens of Christ? So an attitude of wanting to show love and grace and Christ-like forgiveness? Or are you trying to essentially fight to get what you feel like is rightfully yours and resolve the matter through quote-unquote worldly means? When we lay it out like this, I think it's pretty obvious that I hope it's the former, that we resolve this through the lens of Christ. If you're having any kinds of disputes like this with other members of the body, I encourage you to consider the love, grace, and forgiveness that you have received and set out to resolve those disputes in a Christ-like way. Where, again, you may not be tempted to file a lawsuit, but let's not follow the ways of the world. Let's not try to pursue just what we think is right or what we deserve, but rather to approach it in a manner worthy of Christ. The second thing I want to highlight is in verses 12 through 20. These verses talk a lot about sexual immorality, and certainly Paul's exhortation to flee sexual immorality is one that we should follow. We should flee from things like pornography or masturbation or sex outside the context of marriage and so on. But I want to get at a more fundamental thing, that's the role of our physical bodies in honoring God. Over the years, I've heard some Christians talk about the physical body as if it doesn't really matter, as if all that really matters is the soul, the spiritual things. But the thing is, our faith is lived out in body, mind, and soul. We're meant to worship God with all of our being, not just one part of it. While what we believe in our hearts is critical, and what we know in our minds is very important, what we do with our bodies is just as important, and really, they're all tied together. Paul says in verse 13, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Then in verses 19 and 20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. What we do with and to our bodies, our understanding and practice of things like sexual ethics, or even things like caring for our bodies, all of those things are a way to glorify God. And so what we do with our bodies matters. And so to bring it back to sexual immorality, things like pornography or sex outside the context of marriage, they're not only wrong because it's breaking some kind of arbitrary rule or because of how it might negatively affect the social order, but because our bodies were made for God, and God for our bodies. When we engage in sexual immorality, we use our bodies for things that are not intended for that purpose. And then, since they're all related, our minds and our souls also become negatively affected. To use Paul's example in verse 16, or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. What we do with our bodies affect our souls and our minds. What we do with our bodies have spiritual consequences that we cannot ignore. So, brothers and sisters, let's remain pure in heart and mind, yes, and also our bodies. Let's honor God with our whole being. To bring it to our context, to our everyday context, let's consider what we do with our bodies. Or let's consider how that can affect how we take care of ourselves, even can affect our minds and our souls. Let's remember that we're not just solely spiritual beings, just as we're not solely physical beings, but that we're all, those are all interrelated. And so let's consider how we can honor God with our bodies and our whole being. Let me wrap this up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these words that we were able to meditate on today. God, we just pray that you would help us. Help us to be a people who honor you with all of our being. That we would give of ourselves, our bodies, our mind, our soul to you and seek to honor you. And Lord, I also pray that you would help us. Help us to be a people who, as we seek to do that in our individual lives, help us to consider how we can do that with one another as well. That we would work together, Lord, overcoming our differences as we remember your grace, your forgiveness, and your love. Help us to view the world, Lord, as you see it, to approach life as you see it, and not just the way the world does. So that again, that in all that we do, we would honor you and point to you, Jesus. Thank you for this time in your word today. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.